2 says that it undertakes an honest approach to one's morality. It undertakes an honest approach to our morality. In other words, we are living in an immoral society, and in order to find out who you are in this society, you've got to honestly look at who you are. Go to Job chapter 4, verse 17. Job chapter 4, verse 17 in the Old Testament. You see, if you are a believer, you use the Old as well as the New Testament. God speaks to us. God is not mute. God hasn't lost his mind. He hasn't forgotten how to communicate with his people. He's always done it through the Word. And the problem in most of our churches is we have closed our books and we have gotten in touch with the program. My friends, you've got to throw the dumb program out, open up the Bible, and let God tell you what he wants to tell you. Job chapter 4, verse 17. Listen to what it says. Can mankind be just before God? Can a man be pure before his maker? Hey, listen, you better look at your morality. God is saying, hold it. You mean to tell me you think that before me you are just? See, the problem with our society today, my friends, is simply put as this, is that we think too highly of ourselves. Oh, yes, I'm just. Lord, whatever I deem is done. God is saying something. Can you be just before me? Can a man be pure before his maker? Now, you know the consequence is that inevitably, yes. But is he? You see, whenever we go before God, we have to say this, Lord, is what I'm thinking what you want me to think? I'm thinking about going over there. Do you want me to go over there? I'm thinking about talking with this person. Have you told me to talk with this person? I'm thinking about living in this kind of a lifestyle. Have you told me to live in this kind of a lifestyle? You see, that's what you have to do. God is saying, are you pure before me? Can a man be pure? You better look at yourself through the moral sense and answer that question. Because I'm telling you, when God called Cornelius, I'm sure that all of these things were going through his mind. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. All right, Ecclesiastes is right after Proverbs, so you can't miss it. Who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? Let's see if you know. Solomon. That's right. That's right. Third king of Israel, and I'm telling you, mighty mean man. He went through everything in life, and he found out that everything was emptiness. Isn't that a shame for a man to commit the debauchery that he did to come up with this conclusion? It's all emptiness. Well, let's look and see what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 14. The wise man's eyes are in his head. Oh, yes, God knows you. And then he says, but the fool walks in darkness. And yet, I know that the one fate befalls them both. And as I continue to read verse 15, then I said to myself, as is the fate of the fool, it will also befall me. Why then have I been extremely wise? So I said to myself, this too is vanity. Do you know what Solomon was saying? He says, looky here, I'm rich, I have money, I have goods in this city. I have food. I have wives. I have concubines. I have pleasure. I have a lot. I have all. Now look what Solomon also says and sees in his city. There the poor are with me. They have nothing. They have no wives, no food, no concubines, no pleasure. But the end of it is that we both die. And Solomon says, oh, Lord, all is vanity. I want to help you people. Those of you that are in a road race to keep up with the Joneses by increasing your loanses, it's vanity, my friends. Those of you that are trying to dress your children and so that they can look like the other children, it's all vanity. Those of you that are not married that's looking for the fine sisters and the fine brothers, it's all vanity. Their shape isn't the way you want their shape to be. You don't need that shape at all. You don't need that shape. What you need to do is you need God to reshape the way your mind is. Solomon says, my friends, it is all vanity. In vain do we find that. And I know that that's to be very, very true. The wise preacher is aware that there is one enemy that man has to deal with, rich or poor, unwise or wise. None of us can escape it, and that enemy is death. And when death comes upon you, my friends, you better look at, listen, the Christian in society today has to look at one thing. How will it be when I die? How am I going to die? Therefore, how am I living? Where am I going? How am I talking? What am I looking at? And then let me share this with those of you that have children. Everything you do and say in your home, your children are checking you out. You are developing what your children are going to be. What you watch, what you listen to, how you talk, how you communicate, those beautiful little bundles of joy are going to emulate their parents, and when they come up destructive creatures, you are the one that destroyed them. You are the one, my parents. Yes, it undertakes an honest approach to one's morality. What else did Cornelius have to do there in that magnificent city of Caesarea? I can see it now, having his Italian cohort, the fort right on the coast, walking on the sandy beaches of Caesarea, the sun coming up, shining into the amphitheater, and he has his guard sitting out there and says, now, you know, Herod's going to be down here, and you know, Agrippa gave us this place, and he built all this. And as he prowls around and looks around all of that modern society around him, it has to dawn on him. What relationship do I have with this God anyhow that's about ready to speak with me? Well, there is, number three, a vivid connection between the spirit of man and God's spirit that allows for eternal fulfillment. There is